Wouldn't you love to know how to create, grow, and preserve your wealth? Well, you are now in the right place. Welcome to the Wealth Wise Podcast, all courtesy of VM Wealth Management. First up, it's Wealth Focus.
Welcome to another episode of the Wealth Wise Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel. Now, you know, I've been thinking, it seems like so many people have devoted more time to planning a vacation, choosing to buy a car, or even selecting a spot to eat dinner than they do with estate planning. Estate planning is deciding who will inherit your assets after you're gone. Estate planning is certainly not for the rich or, you know, the already wealthy. But without a plan in place, settling our affairs after we go could have a long-lasting and costly impact on the ones we love. So many times we've heard of scenarios where family members and friends have been cheated out of their things that they so rightly deserve because someone else decided that they're more deserving. Have you ever asked yourself, why should someone be able to decide what happens to the things that I work so hard for? Think about it. Protect your estate. Protect your families. Let's start planning. So today, to talk to us some more about estate planning, we have a very special guest on our podcast. Our wise lessons for today on estate planning will come from none other than our special guest, attorney at law, Abel Dunfoot. Abel, welcome to WealthWise Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I am excited to be here. The VMIL team is one that is a great one. I like what you guys are doing in the industry. So I'm really happy to be a part of this. So let's get the ball rolling.
Wonderful. So happy to have you here, Abel Dunn, because we have so many questions for you, and we want you to clarify a lot of things that the ordinary Joe is not very familiar with.
Certainly.
And even myself, I want to get some clarity on a number of issues or a number of points on estate planning. So tell me, what exactly is estate planning?
So estate planning, in simple terms, is how do you, as an individual, you have acquired your assets throughout your lifetime, how do I plan for continuity of the holding of the assets and who shall inherit what assets, what type of structures will I put in place in contemplation essentially of my death? You know, you want to make sure that you put the right structures in place, because nothing gets more untidy and litigious than a bad estate matter. Two things can go terribly wrong in law, in terms of cases being charged with a lot of emotions. Those are family cases, and as the layman would put it, dead left case. You know, when siblings are fight over who must get what.
Those
cases can get very, very dirty. So it's always good for you to put the structures in place throughout your lifetime, so that sort of chaos doesn't happen upon your death.
Okay.
So plan for your estate.
So we're going to break out the planning for the estate. Who would you say qualify to plan for their estate? Like, what age? Is there an age limit? Or when do you start?
Once you're over the age of majority, which is 18, and you've been acquiring assets, or you own any form of property, you can start your estate planning at that stage. So it could be even a one car that you might buy, or a house or a land somewhere. Any form of asset or property that you have is a part of your estate. Down to your watch, you know, your jewelry. Those are heirlooms, you know. Mm-hmm. You have people that invest a lot in jewelry, you know, Rolex watches, that sort of a thing, or Hublot's, Cartier's. Those are those items hold value, and you can even put that as a part of your planning in terms of who will inherit those jewelries, you know. So it's not limited to property, it's not limited to vehicles, it is literally all your assets and properties that you own throughout your lifetime that you want to pass on to your, you know, it could be family members, it could be friends, it could be anybody, to your beneficiaries.
Understood. So with estate planning, there must be a reason, an objective for me outside of the fact that I'm leaving these items or my assets for someone. What would be the other primary objectives of having an estate in place?
So why you want to plan is this. Say you were devoted to wealth creation, because after all, this is Victoria Mutual Wealth Management, right?
Correct.
So your clients here are concerned about creating wealth. You work so hard for your money throughout your working life. You also want to preserve that, wouldn't you? So you want to find the most cost-efficient way or cost-conscious way to pass on your property or your assets. And that can only be done with proper estate planning. So even from a tax standpoint, for example, if you put the proper structures in place prior to your death, you can save on a lot of taxes. You see a lot of people, for example, who invest heavily in the stock market and they're getting good dividends. They might want to set up IBCs in St. Lucia or offshore, which have certain tax havens, you know, for incorporating those companies. So those are structures that one can put in place and then pass on in their estate.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So for our listeners, they may not know what an IBC is.
Right.
What's an IBC?
It's basically an international business corp, a company. So you can set that up in St. Lucia. You can set that up in the Bahamas, BVI. You have different jurisdictions that have different tax benefits. So I would say solicit the help of a professional in that field, an accountant or tax advisors, as also attorneys, because they can give you the best professional advice in terms of where it is that offers the best tax benefits.
And that will also help to reduce the tax burden on their heirs?
Right. So the beneficiaries. So, for example, if you're heavily invested in the stock market, if there's a St. Lucian company, my recollection is that they pay little or no withholding tax, you know, on dividends. But if you hold the shares directly in your name in Jamaica, you're paying tax at an increased amount. So people depends on the amount of capital that you have to go for that structure, because that has its own associated costs as well, you know, to maintain an IBC, because you're going to have to hire accountants, file annual returns, that sort of a thing, pay a corporate secretary. So to run that annually is going to come with its own cost. But if your estate is a few million US, it's worthwhile setting up that structure if you are invested heavily in the stock market.
Okay. You touch on costs. I want to find out from you, what are some of the costs associated with estate planning?
So in terms of the costs associated with estate planning, now, professional fees would range at about 2-5% of the total value of the estate upon death. So that's the lawyer's fees to run it through the system, to run the estate upon death. So it runs from 2-5%, and that's usually for the probate. Probate is when you die leaving a will, it has to go through the court system to have the assets properly disposed of. And then another aspect of it is the conveyancing. So if you had property in your estate, you pay different sets of fees for the conveyance of the property. So usually the beneficiaries sometimes don't want to keep the property. They might want to sell it, so to get the cash. So if that is being done, that would attract its own fee for the conveyance. And that ranges as well. Anywhere in the region of 2 to 5%. And if it's being sold, you're also going to pay fees for the preparation of the agreement for sale. That is typically about 150,000 Jamaican. And transmission fee usually is a flat cost of 150,000 as well.
So it's safe to say that estate planning is a little bit costly?
Yeah, but it is more costly if you do not do it because of the inherent weakness and chaos associated with not having proper planning in place. So for example, some people die without leaving a will, or if they leave the will, nobody knows where it is. You know, it's like, it's ludicrous, some of the stories you hear. Like, think about it. Nobody knows, generally speaking, when they are about to die. So they might not put the proper structures in place that they really need to put in place. So throughout your lifetime, especially in light of COVID, many people died throughout this period. You want to set up your affairs prior to. You should have a will. You know, I know of a personal situation with somebody very wealthy who died recently. I can't disclose who, but he literally has billions of dollars in his estate, but no proper structure was in place upon the time of death, and his family, you know, it's very unfortunate what's happening now, you know.
So
It sounds unlikely, but it is something that is happening.
In Jamaica, we see it happen, as you're sharing. We see it happen. We hear about it from our friends and other maybe family members, distant relatives, and so on. There's a question that I have for you that has to do with having a will, but not only having a will. Because you have a will for you pass.
If you die without having a will, it goes on what is called intestacy, right? Where the court would have to distribute the assets in a particular order in accordance to law. But if you have a will, you determine how your assets are disposed of. Right, and the will must be in writing, must be signed at the foot or end thereof. It must have a witness. It must also have executors who are essentially trustees. The executors are persons that you trust to basically carry out your wishes contained in the will. So all of these are things that are required when making a will.
So,
and the executor should be somebody you really trust, because they are trustees. Like, should be somebody that is a close confidant, friend, family member, whosoever, that you trust to carry out your wishes.
Right. I understand that part. I want to get to, whilst I'm alive,
right,
how does my estate affect me when I'm alive? In terms of medical emergencies, or if I get incapacitated, or how can I plan for that using estate planning?
So there is something called a power of attorney, which is that you can allow another individual to basically stand in your stead legally. So, you know, from anything from opening up bank account to signing on stuff for you to anything legal that would require you personally, the person you appoint as your attorney under the power of attorney. It's not an attorney at law, you know, but this can be anybody that you trust would basically stand in your stead to operate for you legally.
So that person, is it a document that they present?
It's a document a lawyer would prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And certain fees are paid for that, and you register it properly. and you use that document now, that person would use that document as their legal authority. It is authority for them to act on your behalf in keeping with the power of attorney that gives them their power to act on your behalf.
To act on my behalf,
right,
on whatever matters that I give them authority to act on.
Right.
Okay, when it comes to handling finances and say my account, my investments, right, and
a power of attorney can help with that as right. Well.
So how does power of attorney works if I send my best friend with I'm sick. I'm on my hospital bed and I need to clear off some debt or pay the hospital fees and I send my best friend to the bank, who is my power of attorney,
to pull money from their account. To pull
money from my account, sell some shares, you know, do some things. And flatline, I die. My friend is on the way to the bank. Now, how is that? Is it valid? Being that I die and...
Good question. Usually you use that whilst you're alive, the power.
Right.
Right, but So upon death, it is a situation where essentially the primary document you would want, the law would look at, would be the will. Because the will takes effect on death. A will is not valid throughout the lifetime.
Right. So
the will now is the authority now in terms of how it is that your assets are treated with. That's why it's so important to have a will. But
in the moment, talking about now, you know, the moment that I pass, all right, I pass, they get the news, and she don't bother go to the bank because I pass. And, you know, morning and everything. And the next day, no, because the bills still need to pay, she presents it to, you know, my advisor. She goes to VMworth and she gives the power of attorney document to my advisor and says she need to pull some money because, you know, she have to pay
hospital. That's a very good practical question. Very good practical question, but I guess it really would depend on how it is that the institution treats the situation.
Okay.
But more than likely, what will take effect is the will.
Okay.
Yeah, because the power is almost obsolete at that stage.
It is obsolete at that stage.
Yeah. So if there's a will, the will is the primary document.
Understood. What are some of the common concerns that persons usually want to resolve through estate planning?
Common concerns, I guess.
Who get what?
Peace of mind. Because you know that's priceless.
Right.
Right. If you have children, you're going to hear, say,
who is your
65
favorite daughter, right? Favorite son.
You're 65, I'm 65, and you know, we have two kids. One is
or
35,
or,
I don't
or
know.
Six.
Or yeah.
Because you have a lot of extended families in Jamaica.
Precisely.
You know, grandfather, grandmother.
So we're getting old and we realize that listen, we might kick the bucket. So listen. We have to now set up our affairs because Dale, who think him is a favorite son, nagging his mother because his mother, blue eye boy, oh, I want the house up in Cherry Gardens and you promised it to me and all. No, I don't see that it's going to happen. And his sister Angela is, you know, fighting over the house too. And every day is this big argument at every family dinner and Christmas and New Year. Nobody getting along because them fighting. And no structure in place.
I ain't kick the bucket yet.
And we don't kick the bucket yet. And them killing us because them nagging us. Right? So, no peace of mind. So, we say, all right, let us formalize this thing. All right. So, she gets that in that land in Halfway Tree with the plaza on it. And Dale gets the house up in Cherry Gardens. And here, everybody's happy because now it's in black and white. And when we die, nobody should be fighting. They should just be mourning over us, you know. So that's a real gist behind it.
Okay, so peace of mind is a primary concern.
I would think.
You know what also comes to mind? How does having a life insurance play a part in estate planning?
A life insurance plays a part because A life insurance policy, depending on the principal amount, can be significant. Can be millions and millions and millions of dollars. Because you're paying a premium, throughout your lifetime. And when you die, it kicks in. But you'd have to have it clearly stated as a part of the policy with Sagicor or Guardian or wherever that you get your policy through. Who should be your beneficiary? Because your policy, for example, let's say it's $30 million. Who is going to get this $30 million when I die? So it becomes a part of the estate planning. When you're planning for your estate, you want to think about all your assets and entitlements.
So, glad you touched that point. What is the most efficient way to distribute your estate without having to go through too much red tape? Because, you know, say in Jamaica, we have a lot of red tape for every striking thing.
So, you want to know basically how it is that you can avoid that red tape. That's what you're asking.
Yes.
And you want to know the most efficient way to distribute the estate. So, the secret is, the best way to distribute the estate is whilst you are alive. So, yes, the will take effect on death.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to go through this court procedure, right? And you pay this one bag of fees to have your wishes carried out. Sometimes, it is as simple as putting your house in order from the outset. What I mean by that? Say you have an apartment you want to buy and you don't buy it yet. But you know in your head that this apartment, eventually, I want it to go to Dale. What was the name of the son again? Dale, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want this apartment to go to Dale. We're buying this, but eventually Dale is going to get it. The best thing to do is to put Dale on it from the outset. So, there is a principle in law.
I have a question though. What about your children that are not at that age for them to...
We're going to get to that. But let's take it for granted that the child is 18 or over that you want to give this property to.
Mm-hmm.
Put their name on it from the outset. Don't wait till later to do it. In other words, there is a principle that is called joint tenancy, where the right of survivorship applies. If you are purchasing a property with another, you can do it in two forms: joint tenancy or tenancy in common. Tenancy in common is when I own my share, you own your share separately. And if I pass, it goes to whosoever I want it to pass to. And if you pass, it goes to whosoever you want it to pass to. That's tenancy in common. Joint tenancy, as the name joint suggests, you guys own it together. And if you pass, the right of survivorship applies. It automatically goes to the other person. So, using back the same example, buying this thing, we know eventually that Dale want to get it. We want to give it to Dale, sorry. We put my name on it as also Dale's name on it. And we are there as joint tenants. If life runs how it usually runs, where the parent dies before the child, automatically Dale will get it. It don't have to go through no probate or none of that long court issue where you're tied up for like 12 months before him actually get the property in his name legally. All he has to do is just note the debt on the title, and it is automatically his. So that's one big secret.
That sounds much more easier than going all of...
And it's cheaper too.
It is.
Because it's just one set of fee you really pay from Jump Street, as opposed to all those...
For the joint tenancy.
Fees at the back end, where you have to go through probate, you're going to pay 2% of this and then another that, and transmission and agreement for sale and... There's just a lot of fees on the back end when it's done the other way.
You're most tired being a lawyer. All of those things that you just tell me a while ago. I'm just tired.
You're tired. Boy. Now you see why my eyes look like this.
Boy, listeners, you want to see Abel done in here having dropsy.
But as they say, the reward for good work is more work.
More so work. And I'm really happy that you took the time out of your busy schedule to come and sit with us and talk to us some more about
I would have it no other planning. Way.
So we're still talking about red tapes. And how do we as parents, speaking it into being, plan for our children or unborn children? So we probably expecting, we have people out there who are expecting and they want to set up something. What would you call that? A trust?
I mean, wouldn't you do that whilst a child is born though?
When the child, but you're saying they're
under the age of majority.
You have unborn kids, meaning that you have persons who are expecting. You have people who are planning to have children and they want to set up things as it goes along. I hear you mention something about trust earlier. I wanted to get some more information on trust, but I also want to know in the situation with Dale and so on, what if I already have a child is not yet 18 and I want them to own this property? Do I wait until they're 18? What do I need to do?
You can wait until they're 18, or you can, as you brought up the issue of trust, set up a trust. A trust is a legal document that basically allows another person to hold assets on behalf of the beneficiary. So they don't own it, but they just hold it on their behalf. So the person that holds it on their behalf is the trustee. And there's a trustee act of Jamaica and the common law.
Everything is governed by...
law, yes.
A deed.
Yeah, the deed, the trust deed.
Or an act.
Right.
Okay. In terms of adding beneficiaries to wills, trusts, pension plans, investment accounts, insurance. Are there separate steps to add beneficiaries to these estate planning features?
So, I mean, you could always do that in the will, and the will can speak to everything. You understand? So you might, let's use an example with a land. Right, you might not have the name of the other person noted as yet. So let's use back that same example. It might just be in my name, but I know Dale. My intention is to give it to Dale. The will have Dale in it as the beneficiary, or the investment account that you could have put him on when you were opening the account and didn't put him on. You can refer to that also in the will. So the will can be that one primary document that speaks to all your assets and entitlements and how it is that it's disposed of and who gets what.
I'm just here trying to digest all of that information.
I know it's a lot. Eh?
It is quite a bit, but it is also very interesting. But Menaga lies still. Abel, you have used so many large words, big words, some massive terminologies, as they would put it. And
also,
I wanted to break down some of those words for me. You mentioned an I word earlier, intestacy.
You mentioned it.
So I want you to explain to me or to us, what is intestacy?
Intestacy is when you die without a will.
That's it?
Basically, the long and short of it.
When you die without a will.
Without a will.
Okay.
The assets fall on intestacy, right? Where you would have to
What is the origin?
So when that is done, you do what they call letters of administration. That is a procedure it runs through. If you have a will, it runs through what you call probate.
Okay, so if you have a will, it's called probate.
If you don't have a will,
don't have a will, it's called intestacy.
Right. And it goes through the letters of administration, how it is disposed of through the system formally. Yeah. So it's intestacy is when you die without leaving a will. And then the law have to determine who should get what.
All right. So another word that you used quite often was executor.
Right. So the executor is somebody who is to carry out the wishes in the will. And as I say, it is somebody who, you know, is above board, who you trust as well, and has a certain level of integrity.
I have a point for you. I realize that in our conversation, you say it is important to have a will,
mm-hmm.
but the will is not the estate.
Can I say something?
Are you going to agree with me?
I don't agree with you.
The will is not the estate alone?
The will would speak to the estate.
Isn't the will a part of the estate?
The will is basically what is contained in the will is what is contained in the estate.
But that's not everything that you had said before. That's not how I understand it.
No, man. The will essentially is what is in your estate. Unless you omit...
All of the things them about Dale, put Dale as joint tenancy, that is not a part of the will. But it's a part of the estate planning.
Agreed.
So that means the will is not the estate itself.
But typically it is. The typical scenario is that what is in the will is in the estate. But of course, you can have assets that you omitted to put in the will that falls outside of the will. But the law still will dispose of them.
Through
the process.
Of?
So
we are teaching the process of.
So if it does not fall in the will, remember what we spoke about earlier? Let me quiz you now.
Oi.
Mm-hmm.
You're so nice.
If it's not in the will, what happens? Or if you don't have a will, what happens?
The I word.
Good. And then where would dispose of it?
The probate.
The court.
The court, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, when you think probate, think will. Right?
Intestacy.
I got hold on. Mm-hmm.
Intestacy. Just give me 100%.
Yeah. I give it 92.
Still get a star. All right.
I agree.
Okay.
So.
I have a few more questions for you before we wrap up, though.
But I want to say this before this thought escapes me. The reason why the will is so important, going back to the will now, is that sometimes the beneficiaries or your children don't know what you own. Think about it.
But suppose we don't want them to know everything that you own. But that's the point
I'm making, you know. I might be like that too, you know, thinking about it. But they don't know all that you might own. So I remember this one example of a case I did where the person was, you know, of means. But we had to literally go on a fishing expedition to try and find his assets. We had to investigate because the kids knew nothing. They only knew of one bank account. And what we had to do is go to court and get a judge to sign an order, basically ordering all financial institutions
to disclose to
us if he has or had a bank account, with their institution. And we had to serve it on every single bank in Jamaica. And then they wrote back, some saying, no, we don't have an account with John Brown. Whilst others responded by saying, yes, it's account 1234 with X amount of money in there.
It's a whole heap of work that though, Abel.
It was a whole lot of work and it was an absolute mess. It was so untidy and exhausting. And the beneficiaries, the kids, they couldn't help. It's literally us trying to fish and assist, you know. Yeah.
So... where there's a will, there is a way.
Precisely.
Love it. Okay, so thank you for answering that question. in the Jamaican society, you know, Beanie Man had a song, Man Fair Have North Girl and Girl in a Bungle. And we know a lot of situations where we have alternate families, you know, so you have a couple here with, you know, married with children, and, you know, the husband has another family. May not, you know, it's clearly not a marital situation, but he has an outside family, you know, two kids with somebody else. And so how do we treat a situation with, you know, this scenario? How do you treat a situation in terms of like this breadwinner for both households being deceased, or how can he set up
same way his estate? Can speak to both families,
but he doesn't want the lady on the side or the second family to know that, you know, he has XYZ, or he doesn't want his wife to know that has this second family.
It's as simple as him setting up the will, which speaks to both persons or both households getting what each ought to get or should get in his mind in the will, and then leaving the will with his attorney. He doesn't have to go into the details as it relates to who gets what under the will.
Oh,
the lawyer can know that, and that will be confidential. And then upon the time of his death, when the will takes effect, now the wishes in the will can be brought out.
But there's still a problem that...
But he's dead at that time. So they would have to figure that out amongst themselves.
So, but we spoke about peace of mind and... less contention.
Agreed, but there's no clear answer in life sometimes. You kind of just have to ride through the storm, you know.
After you die.
And figure a way out. Exactly. So sometimes it's...
Good one.
You might have all the answers in your head, but in reality, you might be greeted by problems you didn't envision.
But you can understand my line of questioning, because these are real life scenarios.
Right.
And in our society, we find that, you know, the alternate family lifestyle, it's happening now more frequently than ever before. And it's been happening for many years. And everybody wants a piece of the pie. Everybody wants to be included. And so... a man is not going to want to not have left something for his other children outside of his marital home. So I'm thinking that, you know, our listeners will find some value in your response.
Yeah.
So where there's a will, there's a way.
So in that scenario as well, what can happen is the same situation we spoke about in terms of joint tenancy, and that situation can be set up throughout the person's lifetime. You know, as opposed to even waiting at a later stage, you know, he can acquire the assets that way in joint tenancy for household one and household two. And that gives each person a level of security.
As well as life insurance, right?
Precisely. So the same would apply in terms of deciding who can be the beneficiary.
Okay. Sounds workable. Sounds feasible for a lot of families, extended families, and alternate families.
Yes.
Right on the money. All right. So, one final thing before you go.
Yes.
So, we've spoken at length about the different areas and how involved estate planning is, how costly it is, but how beneficial it is. But for the layman, the simple man who wants to start planning, how simple, how easy is it for somebody who they don't have no five houses, cars, millions of dollars in the bank, but they have something and they want to start? How easy is it?
Start when you're taking action. So, you're opening a bank account, for example, and you only have 100,000. Put your son's name on it from now when you're opening it. You don't need a lawyer to do that. That's something you do on spot.
And
in the
that costs you nothing.
And it costs you nothing. So if you die, he can access the account. That mm-hmm. don't have to run through no probate. It don't. There is absolutely no confusion.
Mm-hmm.
He gets what is contained in the account.
So estate planning really then, Abledon, is planning smart, yes. planning ahead, planning yes. smart in our regular, normal, day-to-day activities that we go about in acquiring assets. And our assets may be as simple as opening a bank account
yeah.
or even at VM Wealth account.
Certainly.
Starting to buy stocks, mm-hmm. want to buy a unit trust. You open this account, put a loved one on this account so that they may be able to Precise. Access Precise. Your these funds in the event of your
passing
or you being unable to
yeah.
act on your own behalf.
Exactly. And communicate with them that you put it on their account. Put them on their account.
Well, in most cases,
because how, know, else
how is
they
it
know?
Set up now that they have to sign when they are joint
yes, yes, right,
holders right. on an account. So you're they right. will know that they... And then you will have that conversation with them on how to operate the account, being that they are now the joint holder on the account, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say thank you so much, Abledon Foote, attorney at law, for stopping by Wealthwise Podcast to share extensively about estate planning. I hope that we can talk soon about some other legal matters that our listeners will be brought up to speed. You have spoken so eloquently and so clearly, and you've broken it down for us so simply. And we must say thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. You were a wonderful host, and I certainly look forward to coming back again with you.
Oh, you're most welcome, Abledon. For all your wealth management needs, contact VM Wealth Management at 876-960-5000 or email us at wealthinfo@myvmgroup.com. Podcast production courtesy of Infinity Media. Don't forget, you can build your wealth with us at VM Wealth Management. Advice, solutions, performance.